Hi, this is Sanjay Poonen, CEO of VMware. I hope you're coffeed up and ready. And I am happy to be on the Virtually Speaking podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 45. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and John is on vacation this week in Mexico. And so joining me from Veeam is technical evangelist, Mr. Michael Cade. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Pete. What's up?
Man, you must be exhausted. What a great week we just had coming off of a full week in New Orleans for Veeam On 2017, hosted by Veeam. Great, great, great event, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. To be fair, my travel home wasn't too bad, just the 9 hours hop back over to London. But my colleague Anthony, who you'll hear from in a bit, he had a shocking 60-hour romp home. He was on that Qantas flight flying out of LAX that had an engine blowout and had to come back. So,
Oh, my goodness. Poor guy. Yeah, Anthony Spiteri was definitely one of the guys I was looking forward to running into at VeeamON. I've read a lot of his blogs. Really, really super smart guy and really cool as well. So let's do this, Michael. I'd love to talk a little bit about the Veeam Vanguard team, sort of what they do and all that stuff. I also want to share a couple of conversations that we recorded, the one from the Veeam Vanguard, the technical experts at Veeam, as well as an interview that I captured with our COO, Sanjay Poonen, who shared a little bit about the value of partnerships like Veeam. But before all that, I'd love to start with some of the really awesome announcements that Veeam made last week at VeeamON. So why don't we do that? We'll do a little bit of Veeam announcements. We'll talk about the Veeam Vanguard and we'll share some interviews. Sound like a plan?
Sounds awesome, mate.
Sweet. So let's jump in. For those of you that are listening, I'm going to leave links to this on the blog post, but be sure to check out some of the details around some of the announcements. But Veeam just announced their new availability suite version 10, which is jam-packed with features. Built-in management for Veeam Agent for Linux and Veeam Agent for Windows. Scale-out backup repository. NAS backup support for SMB and NFS shares. Veeam CDP, which is continuous data protection. That leverages our VAAI. Primary storage integrations, which is to me, Michael, we got to talk about this one. This whole primary storage integrations, the universal storage integration API, I think that is some really cool stuff. I think we talked a little bit about that in the recording that we have for you guys, but I'm really excited that you guys are doing that. DRAS enhancements for service providers. Also some really cool stuff around support for vCloud Director now within V10. Really great announcements for version 10. And also the really cool thing for those of you that weren't there, Veeam brought on their experts from Veeam to actually do demos of some of their key announcements. We grabbed the guys after the general session and talked to them. And here's what they had to say.
John, here we are, Veeam On in New Orleans, my friend. Welcome to New Orleans.
It is fun to be back.
Oh, aren't you guys supposed to be in Atlanta? How did you end up here?
Very good question. Let's do a round of introductions before we get too deep into this, because we've got a ton of experts here from Veeam here with us today, and I'm pretty excited about this group. All vanguards, all key leaders with Veeam. Great guys. Let's start with you, Michael.
I'm Michael White. I'm a technical evangelist with Veeam. Primarily, I deal with the BCDR side of our work with the new product, VAO, but I'm very happy to be working with you guys.
Oh, man, the feeling is mutual, my friend.
So thanks for having us, Pete, John. My name is Clint Wyckoff. I'm a senior technical evangelist with Veeam.
Awesome. And my buddy from, we just finished doing a session together, John. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but this guy, he's been a big fan of vVols for a while, big VMware guy, Michael Cade.
Hey, Pete. Hey, John. Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Hello, and it's Anthony Spiteri here, technical evangelist at Veeam, focusing on service providers.
Yeah, Anthony, that's a name I've seen for a long time, too. Lots
really,
of good content coming
from
you.
We never met,
but you put out a lot of really great content out there, so thank you for that.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Spiteri is one of the smartest guys you can always find at the conference, and one thing to note, I'm pretty sure he has come the farthest to make it here of anyone.
Without question, 32 hours door-to-door.
Wow, that's awesome. Was it worth it?
Always.
It's not a good record to hold, though. Hopefully somebody else will have it next year.
Impossible. It's coming from South Africa, right?
Yeah.
We had a press analyst thing this morning, and there's actually two analysts that came all the way from South
Probably
Africa.
Probably longer than, yeah.
And what about Mbai? How do you say that word?
Mumbai?
Mumbai, that's it.
Mumbai's probably closer.
Closer.
Anyways, now that we got our geography class out of
geography lesson check. All right, moving on. Yeah, so great general session today. Really, I really love the way it started. I mean, the CEO comes on, starts talking about how he came from VMware and what he's doing here at Veeam, Peter McKay. And just a really cool company. I love to see you guys evolve. I was so glad your founder came out as well to come and talk. Really good dynamic between those guys. Would you agree?
Absolutely. So, you know, it was actually really cool to hear the story about how, you know, Ratmir essentially recruited Peter to come and join us. And, you know, one of the coolest parts of that is still how involved Ratmir is with the company, about the vision and what we're doing and where we're going long term.
He's really not on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Even though his wife would probably like that, the fact is he's still involved and he really is doing the strategic. But the thing I liked is what you said just a moment ago. I was behind stage watching those two guys before Peter went out, and you could tell they have a relationship. They're friends. They respect each other. And that is what I really appreciate, because that means they're going to be able to work together well and produce cool stuff that we all have to live with.
Well, speaking of producing cool stuff, you guys had a major, major release today, Veeam Availability version 10. You guys did fantastic demos on the general session screen today. I'd love to walk through some of those. Maybe you guys can give me a brief description of what you guys talked about today on the stage. Michael?
So I demonstrated a feature in Veeam Backup and Replication version 10. CDP is the acronym we use for it. It's continuous data protection. But the really exciting thing about it is it looks like normal, what we've had for a bunch of years, replication in terms of a policy. And one thing is different about it, and that's where you're able to select by default, it's 15-second interval replication. And then we've got short-term and long-term options. But it really will allow people to make decisions about tier one applications that are important to them that they really want to get off-site or get somewhere else with unusually good granularity that still has the normal Veeam simple install and operate stuff.
But what I really like here is the flexibility, because previously in order to get that type of data protection interval, I mean, we could try to juice VADP down to 2 or 3 minutes sometimes just by putting really fast storage and setting aggressive policies, but we couldn't really break that barrier. Previously, you would have to go buy a very expensive, tier one enterprise platform or use some type of specialty appliance, which, I mean, you very quickly were in a heavy six-figure spend.
Oh, for sure.
At a minimum to play in the couple-second recovery point, objective. And being able to do that in software using, just an API hook and do that in a product, even the small businesses, even guys with, a dozen VMs can hit that recovery point. This is a game changer in ease of deployment and cost and complexity of deployment and flexibility of choice. You can now do this on any storage platform.
I think as well there, taking the cloud spin on it. So what we announced yesterday is obviously integration with our DR as a service as well. So not only did we announce vCloud Director support for our Cloud Connect replication, but the CDP is actually going to be part of that as well.
The other piece of it that's really important to me in this kind of conversation is we couldn't do it without a fairly new API that VMware has, because that means we can do that 5-second or 15-second replication without snapshots, and that's thanks to VMware.
And the key thing to stress here is this is a jointly supported solution. Both Veeam and VMware support. If you say, hey, I'm doing this crazy thing where I'm getting a 3-second RPO, they go, oh, using FIO. That's cool. We love that. So this is what happens when we jointly listen to our customers together.
Nice.
Very good point.
So, John, I don't know if you saw the keynote, but Clint kicked it off on the demos. And I had mad respect for Veeam. They all did live demos, like we say on the podcast, we're doing it live. And so Clint started it. He did it live, and his machine did not move. He couldn't even move the mouse at first. And cool.
I don't know if you noticed, though, even on the desktop, I had video, and I even had screenshots there, too. But since the problem wasn't the laptop or the network connection like you would expect at a conference, it was actually a video switcher in the back.
Hilarious.
That the HDMI cable went bad.
Yeah.
So, we had to quickly adjust there on the fly and recover.
We need fault-tolerant projectors. We need FT.
Yeah.
We need Veeam availability for HDMI. what we need.
He was cool as a cucumber, man. Clint just, a couple of jokes here and there. Got a couple of thousand people laughing, and then it was off to the races. So, Clint, why don't you tell us what you demonstrated?
So, one of the things that Veeam announced today was the GA, or the general availability of the Veeam agent for Windows. Back in December, we launched the Veeam agent for Linux. So what that allows folks to do is protect physical Linux devices, servers, AWS instances, Azure instances as well, running Linux operating systems or Windows-based operating systems as well. So one of the number one features that requests that we receive from our customers is, hey, when are you guys going to integrate this into backup and replication natively?
Yeah.
So I can, you know, edit job settings, start, stop remotely, you know, really get all that information natively through BNR. And that's what we're adding inside of backup and replication version 10. So with the agent for Windows, I mean, there's some really cool things that we're adding to that too. Like one of the most requested features on that side was support for Windows failover clusters.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, so like Exchange Database Availability Groups, SQL Always On, all that kind of stuff. That is the absolute number one if we want to get further into the enterprise.
Well, and it's what's great with that is previously, if you don't have native support for that, you end up in a dangerous situation of, oh, I better restore things in exactly the right order and turn this service off when I do this, and you end up having to write all these scripts, and it's just, having that and making it simple and easy to consume is huge.
Yeah, so whenever you would go in and add that Windows failover cluster instance to backup and replication version 10, we're going to be aware of who actually owns the disk during the backup, which node is active. So like now, for instance, you would have to install the agent on each one of those nodes individually, regardless of which one owned the disk. So you'd be in a scenario where the backup would fail on two of them, but be successful on one. So on the restore side of the fence, of a cluster, that's really ugly.
That's not pretty.
So that's what's coming.
Nice. So Michael Cade, you hit the stage twice today. You did two different demos. What were you demoing today?
I did. I was pretty greedy, right? The first demo was around archive tier. So being able to offload those longer-term retention backups down to either a tape or to some sort of disk or even to object storage, both on-premises object storage as well as Amazon S3, Glacier, and Azure Blob Storage. So I just went through how it's a really simple UI to consume. It's policy-driven, so we can either move on a daily basis, so out of the box is a 30-day retention, and we can set some overrides around, so we keep an eye on the short-term retention policy and make sure that we're not consuming too much storage, so we can keep an eye on that as well. Or we just copy everything down to that storage tier. So really getting that archive, that longer-term retention. And really, so we've never really had that archive. We've had backup copy, and that gives us a certain off-site copy and longer-term retention, that grandfather, father, son. But actually being able to leverage these cloud technologies, this cloud storage or tape or anything for that real, true archiving, that was kind of the key for that. And then secondly was around our storage integration. Now, so we've introduced three new storage guys into the mix, and that's so IBM, Lenovo, as well as Infinidat. Now, the differentiator to that is that normally we release one, like every major release, we release this storage integration.
Right.
We've completely gone full circle on that and actually developed a universal API for our storage vendors to consume, so they can start. We give them the open APIs.
Oh, now you're talking.
And then they can develop what they want with Veeam, right?
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Let them come to you.
I think an important thing there is, if I remember correctly, those three new storage platforms we support were all done using that universal API. So that means when somebody else next goes to use it, it's been pretty well tested out.
Yeah, you've already validated it, absolutely.
Internally, because all the, I believe it was the IBM one, was done by us utilizing the API, and then Infinidat was actually done by Infinidat using the API.
Nice.
Well, it's one of those things of anything you can do to avoid having VMFS snapshots is obviously beneficial. And you know, it's not having to do all these one-off projects, and the QE burden on that becomes, you know, something that can add up otherwise. So having one API for that's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. And that was our big bottleneck, right? So releasing a storage integration every year was just not scalable. We want to hit as many as we can.
And everyone was knocking at our doors going, are we going to be next? Who's going to be next? You know, so the other guys were like, why not me? Why are you choosing these guys? You know, so.
If you go out to the forums, you see a list of plus ones. So now, with the nice part about having the universal API is everything we just talked about, but also we'll be able to onboard storage partners quicker.
Yeah.
We won't be waiting for major or minor releases. So it's on the individual vendors and how fast they can write the support, and we can QA it to make sure, obviously, it's going to work correctly and as expected.
Yeah, we do the same thing at VMware with virtual volumes. Yep. You know? It's an open API. You got to get Vasa certified. And once you're certified, you're good to go. go. You don't have to wait for the next release.
I mean, it's the key thing now is, I mean, for Veeam customers, between, you know, vVol support with Vio, with that API, and vSAN snaps, and this open API for third parties, there is no excuse. You should not be having to use VMFS snapshots. There are so many different ways options to avoid it now.
Yeah. VVols.
John, are you saying snapshots suck?
Oh, gosh. I think that one maybe played out.
Yeah.
You're still going to have those, you know, as an ex-service provider with systems, you had to rely on snapshots at some point.
Of course,
You can't have those platforms. And there is some disadvantages, right, with the VNX integration, that sort of stuff. So it's not all the way, but obviously, for us, it's about enabling our partners and our customers. You know, cloud providers can pick up afterwards.
I like it. Makes sense to me. So, guys, what is your takeaway? I know VeeamON has been an event for a while. What's your key takeaway from this event this week? Anything good? Any experiences? Any lessons learned?
The most important ones I've learned is, first off, there is a lot of aggressive, and I mean that word specifically, interest in some of our features.
Yes.
The CDP, the NAS, people are aggressively looking for that. And what it actually means, I think, to us is we have 7 days at home before we have to go on the road and start talking to people all over the place. In fact, we're going to Warsaw to start educating our SEs in EMEA about this stuff so they can go talk to customers.
So for me, it's really exciting. So I've been with Veeam now for 4 years, and before that I was actually a customer of Veeam. And to see where the company was whenever I first started using the product back in 2010 to where the company is today and how it's grown and evolved, there's still a lot of the core people that have made that happen. You know, you have Ratmir, you have Andre, Bill Large, and a lot of the senior executives that are there. But there's a lot of new lifeblood that's coming in and injecting that more trajectory that's up and towards the right, if you will. So not only is the company growing, but the features that we're adding in. So, you know, one of the two things we didn't talk about that was announced on the main stage was the data gravity support.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming in the future.
Oh, yeah.
The Veeam availability for AWS that leverages a partner that we have an investment in called M2WS. We can have backups, agentless backups inside of AWS. Like Michael said, the features and stuff that's coming in Veeam is it's game-changing stuff. And it's exciting.
The VLT stuff with Starwind as well, which Rick showed.
NAS backup as well. So coming from a NetApp background, I know we speak all the time, and that's where we met Pete, in the whole NetApp SIFS thing. Being able to back that up is, again, it's another notch. Normally that would be a major release on its own, right, for our competitors. And
we could probably spend an entire hour talking about all the releases that happened this week. For sure, we need to get links to all of the product releases because there's just a ton of stuff out there. I think the AWS stuff was really huge. I think that's going to be a game changer for you guys.
Native functionality, absolutely, and then the ability to hook and get data there, like you were saying, to the VTL. So it's
native.
The other thing I just wanted to make sure we were clear on, something Clint said, data gravity support, meaning data gravity can analyze Veeam backup files. Because of some differences of thinking, they decided to release it about a week ago. So you can go to their website and download it and run it and analyze your backups right this very moment.
Make that secondary storage work for its money. So,
so just to go back to the key takeaways, so I've been to too many conferences, right? And normally it's very partner focused, whereas this is, I don't know what the percentages are, but there's a higher percentage of customers to partners. But also just think, ultimately these people are coming here to talk and listen about backup.
Oh yeah,
who
unbelievable,
else?
Right?
What other event is purely about that availability, that backup piece? There is none.
And nowhere near this passion, even if you do have a small gathering of fanatics.
So before I came, that was my thought. I thought the majority, I don't know the percentage, I think it's in the 80s, percentage of Veeam customers are VMware customers. And so I would have assumed, why wouldn't they just go to VMworld? And because you guys have a pretty big presence at VMworld as well. I see every customer I've spoken to this week has been hardcore and really smart. You know, these people are passionate. They're not just here for the beads on Bourbon Street.
The fact is, a number of them that I've talked to today have actually said, thanks for the thing I did at VMworld. So they're actually going to both places.
Yeah.
That means they got a lot of belief in VMware and a lot of belief in Veeam, too.
Or they like Bourbon Street and Vegas.
Yeah. I know. There's a happy middle.
That's not hard, is it? That's not hard.
There's an overlap. Everyone. There's a Venn diagram of technology.
That's why I joined the company, right? Because there's that passion, right? And it's a similar, like I was big VMware fan, big Veeam fan, but the passion that I see here is what VMware has as well. So it's, the synergies are more than just technical side-by-side and synergies. It's more about the people that share the passion for the technology as well. So,
absolutely. Well, you're speaking to the choir, because John and I are both on the Veeam Vanguard program. You know, we believe in the product, and we do that because we love what you guys do. And we're gonna be listening, we're gonna be watching, we're gonna be sharing. And I just want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast today, man. And thanks for inviting us to your event. It's been great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, Pete. Cheers, John.
Yeah, so pretty cool conversation with the boys there from Veeam. Lots of really smart guys on that team. I was happy to grab a couple of minutes with them to share some of the demos that they showed us on stage last week. But there's a ton more to talk about on this release, V10. So I will be leaving the respective blog posts and Twitter handles for all the guys that we spoke to. So be sure to read those and reach out to these guys if you have any questions about Veeam. So one of the things we didn't cover with the groups when we were on site last week was this Veeam content pack for VMware Log Insight. You have any info on that?
Yeah, so Log Insight, I'm sure all of your listeners already know, but it's an aggregator of logs. So what we've developed is a free content pack for that that allows for those existing customers or existing users to be able to now also gain insight into Veeam backup and replication from a logs perspective. So it'll give you that insight into what is happening from a backup environment, as well as all other parts of that environment that you're monitoring.
I like it. Yeah, there were a lot of announcements around VMware in general. The vCloud Director support, the ability to do VMware Log Insight, and then also some of the supports with that continuous data protection. So it was definitely, I mean, I guess it makes sense. I mean, the large percentage of your customers are VMware customers. So I guess it would make sense that your software would be integrated with VMware.
Yeah, absolutely, Pete, right? There's no hiding the percentages out there of where our customers sit, whether they're on the Hyper-V side, they're on the another hypervisor on the VMware side. So ultimately, yeah, you probably saw an even split of VMware announcements to Hyper-V, to be honest. But yeah, there's a lot of VMware love being shown here, right?
For sure. So Michael, after we left you guys, we had an opportunity to catch up with our COO, Sanjay Poonen, and we talked a little bit with him about some of the importance of partnerships and what his experience is with Veeam. And so here's what he had to say.
We now have Mr. Sanjay Poonen, COO of VMware. Sanjay, welcome to the podcast.
Guys, it's such an honor. I've heard a bunch about your stuff, so when you tweeted me this morning saying, could you come on your show, squeeze it in, wouldn't miss it.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, we want to apologize in advance for stealing and pirating your soundbite on our intro. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Sanjay is the one that says, I hope you're coffeeed up and ready. So
if it works for you guys, no copyright restrictions, use it all you want.
Awesome.
I got to ask, first off, before we get started with the real hard-hitting question here, what kind of coffee is that you're drinking right now?
Oh, you know what? I'm a coffee buff, man. I love my espresso. You know, there's different variants of it. Vanilla latte, no foam, two shots of vanilla, maybe two shots of espresso. I got a little customized thing going there, right?
Nice.
You ever seen that movie Harry Met Sally?
Oh, yeah.
Sally. I got a complicated order, man.
So, Sanjay, what brings you to Veeam On?
They're a great partner. First off, you know, listen, relationships are what make the world go around. And my, like, first or second week on the job at VMware, I had the privilege of meeting Peter McKay because we're looking at buying his company.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, on stage at VMworld, we announced the acquisition. And for the next several years, I worked with this guy. He's awesome. And he just kept doing a better and better job. He was one of my key lieutenants in the end-user computing business when I ran that.
Right.
We gave him more responsibility. Ultimately, you know, he ran Americas for us. And then I think he ran out of jobs we could give him. So he's now co-CEO of VMware. And Veeam. And he asked me last year, you know, when Carl Eschenbach would usually come to these, and I'm now in Carl Eschenbach's role, would you come to this? I said, yeah, for you I'd come. Now, I didn't know much about Veeam. I'd heard about them from distance. But I also wanted to see what this, because these guys have got a pretty fanatic following, right,
yes,
among their customer base. I wanted to witness it. And sometimes you just have to taste and smell and breathe it to be there. So I took, you know, the plane and I'm out here, and it's been a great, fun time here.
Yeah, great intro video to on the general session.
Oh,
I don't know how much
karaoke.
Time to, yeah, the carpool karaoke. How did that come about?
That thing's gone viral, man. You know, the way that whole thing started was around November, December last year, as I was preparing for kickoff, I told Maurizio, sales kickoffs are often so boring. Lots of PowerPoint, lots of stuff. You know, I watched this Tim Cook, James Corden video, carpool. Why don't you and I get in the car? Initially, he was like, what are you guys like the reaction you had in that video.
Yeah.
So over the Christmas holiday, I wrote the script for it. You know, it didn't take me too long. And I said, why don't we just spend 2 hours in a car? we'll get, you know, a pretty cheap video production crew to come and record us. And if it ends up being a bomb, we'll discard it. But it's only 2 hours of your time. And we picked a bunch of songs and we just ad-libbed, and the guys were cracking up so hard. They're like, you got to do more. You got to do more. And then they edited it down to 5 minutes. We put it up on YouTube. It went viral. We used it at sales kickoff. It's like today when I meet like reps, the only thing they remember is Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah.
They don't remember what I said. They remember the video. So.
Well, the costume with Elton John was classic.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
those glasses. We're going to leave a link on the podcast for sure. But for those of you who haven't seen it, be sure to check
it
out.
On YouTube. Just search Carpool Karaoke in Pune.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that was my big takeaway from Sales Kickoff, right?
That's the only thing you remember. See, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned about partners being important. We have an interesting concept in the tech industry of co-opetition. There's sometimes overlap with partners. Obviously, there's always, you know, VMware's a growing company. You know, we're expanding our product portfolio. Veeam is expanding their product portfolio. But we also have this come up with other partners. What is your take on the always, you know, changing of, you know, partnership and coordination? Where do you view the importance of partners in the ecosystem for VMware?
Super important. I think that, you know, first off, any partnership should have at the center of it customers. I mentioned that on stage. A customer, if you have a common customer that wants you to get something done, you should get it done. And you got to look past small pieces of overlap. Our philosophy in general is a large tent. You know, have as many friends and as few enemies. Okay, so I'll give you some examples. We compete with Citrix, but I want every Citrix customer to run on vSphere and vSAN.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. And use NSX. No problem. So they should come to VMware, have a big presence, but the job of Horizon is to replace every Citrix customer.
Yeah.
But that's how we view it. So it's both cooperation, but at the same time, you know, similarly, MobileIron. We compete with MobileIron. I want every MobileIron customer to switch to AirWatch. But if a MobileIron customer is happy, they should use NSX, right? They should run their virtualized stack on VMware. We compete with Microsoft Intune. We compete with Hyper-V. But I still want to run on Azure if it makes sense, because customers have asked us to run Horizon
on Azure. I saw that announcement recently.
Yeah. We compete a little bit with AWS. Okay, but we felt it was really important. Probably AWS is the biggest story of this. Oh, you, gosh, how can you partner with them? They're coming here to eat your babies,
right.
And you know that's
exactly.
Not the way we view the world. If we can create a software on-ramp into AWS, that's what VMware Cloud on AWS is, and build a strategic partnership with them, customers benefit.
It's brilliant.
So that's the way we have to look at the world. So even where you have some very clear competitors, I use the example Citrix, MobileIron, I could have talked about Nutanix, you know, you still want to support those customers if they're using those technologies, while at the same time, a particular product line of yours at VMware's, their job needs to be to beat those guys, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't look at the world through a black and white lens. You look at the world as how does the customer win? How do you grow what's good for your business long term? And I think that's what's made VMware very special, and certainly the philosophy I live and the way I run our customer operations business.
Yeah, I believe iron sharpens iron, you know, and I think companies like Veeam, you know, those are strategic partners that have been with VMware for a long time, and they just provide an invaluable service.
And I tell you, that last point you just made is really key. When someone's been with you for a long time as a partner, you got to respect that, and you pay homage to that, which is why me as a C-level executive VMware is here. You support that. They've got 200,000 customers. I would bet 80, 90% of those customers are VMware's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I come on stage, those 200,000 customers, a good number of them probably also going to come to VMware.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. They get to hear, wow, the investment I made with VM, and then the things I can do. And then, you know, the Veeam guys are on stage showing all the VMware products, vRealize, LogInsight. I was like, send a note to Raghu, man, you'd love this thing. They're showing all your products, and, you know, you like that. So you want to then support that ecosystem player, and they've been very, very good partners. So, you know, they throw good parties at VMworld, and we're happy to reciprocate showing up at Veeam.
I loved your comment earlier about the customers really being fanatical, and you see that across both, you know, with VMware, you know, our customers really do love our products. With Veeam, we see that strong passion, and you're right, if you've got that customer-centric, if the customer comes first, everything's going to work out for the best for all of us.
It's always the way it should be. You customer first, customer fanaticism, customer success. You know, we have been very fortunate at VMware to have one of the highest NPS scores of any large IT vendor.
Yep.
Consistently over time. And it's my dream that every one of our newer products, that's certainly the case with the hypervisor, vSphere, ESX vSphere, and some of the early EUC products. But, you know, 67,000 customers plus of end-user computing, 30,000 customers of our management products, 7,000 plus customers of vSAN, 2,400 plus customers of NSX. All of those customers are deployed and happy over time.
Yep.
You got a great business that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, right? So I always tell people, it's not about how much revenue you sell of your products. It's making sure that in addition to having a good business success, you have deployed customers and highly satisfied customers. Once you have that, I mean, it'll just start feeding. And the good news is, beyond just their success, if you get them involved in like advisory boards, they start telling you what to do in terms of your product roadmap. Sometimes they tell you which company to acquire because they're working to actually fill a hole that you're not necessarily doing. So we've found small startups that we've acquired, tuck-in acquisitions, like App Volumes. When we acquired them, it came from a customer who told us to do this. We just made an acquisition this past week of Apptelligent, formerly known as Criticism. Again, came from a customer. So, you know, whether we're organically building a feature or inorganically acquiring a small company or partnering with a company like Veeam, all of those, you know, are customer-driven.
Well said. Thanks for your time, Sanjay.
It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm honored. I'll have to do it again.
Yeah, COO Sanjay Poonen. Great, great guy. Super smart. And we were so happy to have him on the podcast. It was great running into him at VeeamON. What'd you think about that, Michael?
Boom. That guy gets it, Pete, right? And everything that we do at Veeam is about our customers. We don't care where your data resides, right? We want to protect it. We want to make it available. That's the whole message of this week, was about experience availability. And exactly what he said is, yeah, we compete with people, but it's only with the left leg, right? It's not with the right leg. We have to play with each other, because ultimately the customers aren't going to go full stack in with VMware. They're not going to go full stack in with Veeam, potentially. So it's about being able to be work with that ecosystem, and you're always going to fight with someone in that ecosystem. You don't do everything.
Sure.
So yeah, he's completely spot on.
Yep, there's a reason he's on the intro to my intro music, man, because I do listen to what he says, and I got that from a session that he did at VMworld that I listened to. Super smart guy. I'm very happy to be working at a company where I actually respect and trust what the C-level folks are saying, because guys like him and Pat Gelsinger, man, they really do get it, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure, Pete, for sure.
All right, cool. Well, one more thing I wanted to ask you about before we take off. The reason I came to Veeam On this year, and the reason John went to Veeam On, is because we're part of a program called the Veeam Vanguards. If you're out there and you're passionate about any product, you may be familiar with these advocacy programs. And yes, the Veeam Vanguard is one where you're basically just a non-solicited, non-paid advocate for a product that you just happen to like. And so John and I are on the Veeam Vanguard because we really do believe in the product. And it's run by your boss, Rick Vanover. Is there anything that you wanted to say about the Veeam Vanguard on the podcast?
Yeah, I guess so. The Vanguards, as you said, there are advocacy guys. We've got 62, I believe, in total. It's a yearly voting system. So people nominate each year, new and existing. It's been going for, I think, 4 years, and it's really our team. So Rick, my boss, is his baby, but ultimately we all look after that baby when we're away. And you guys got to come out here on the Tuesday of the week. We got to sit you in a room and really give you as much NDA stuff and exposure to what's coming. So that was really the focus. We did exactly the same to the Vanguards last year, shipped them over to London for the VeeamON Forum, because we didn't have a VeeamON global event.
Yep.
We got them in there and we were able to again, give them that insight, give them that knowledge transfer of what's coming.
That alone, Michael, to me, is what makes it valuable. Being able to be in the room with like key developers, not just guys that were hired on, like these are guys that have been with the company that wrote the original version of the software, you know, like Anton and these guys, you know, having access to even your founders, you know, and just being able to have a conversation with these people, to me, that's invaluable. You know, I think it's a big part of the process, but even also throughout the year, being able to share feedback internally on Slack about, you know, features or support for certain things and making sure that it actually gets heard. So, if you are in the IT industry and you're not a member of some advocacy program, whether it's Veeam or any other storage or any other computer, whatever, I highly recommend that you get involved with these programs, because it's more than just, you know, it's more than just going to their event. It's a year-round benefit. It's a benefit for you, but it's also a benefit for the company to get that invaluable feedback from their members.
Yeah, I guess one thing to add there, Pete, as well, is so yes, we do all have a Slack and we're all on there. The biggest thing there is 2 weeks before Veeam On, we actually gave out that Veeam powered network resource, as well as adding the actual developer, the head developer, the creator of Veeam powered network to our Slack channel to answer any questions that were there. So that's what we're talking about, and getting that feedback, giving you guys the ability to go and spin that up in Azure as well as on premises and play around and get a feel for that. Like we're talking 2 weeks before our conference when we launched it on day three. yeah, I think that's testament to what we're trying to bring to the community party, right?
For sure. And speaking of party, different kind of party, the event ended last week with a huge bang down in New Orleans. Great party. You guys had Steve Perry from Journey and all other really cool things. Excellent party. You guys really know how to throw down, man. How are you feeling?
Yeah, that was a very late night. The fact that our team was in a diner at 4 a.m. eating crawfish is that should give you a good idea of how we felt the next day.
Absolutely. Good times, good memories. I'm looking forward to the event next year, which I think is going to be in Chicago, right?
Yeah. So we announced it at the party that we're going to be in Chicago. Similar dates. I think it's the 12th to the 18th that week. We don't know too much detail, but I know that Rick is already planning for 2018. And man, that guy worked hard last week.
Yeah, big shout out to Rick Ricketron, Mr. Rick Vanover, the dude. Yeah, he needs to start cloning himself because that is one of the busiest men in IT, I would say.
Yeah, he was definitely busy last week.
Awesome. All right, Michael, what are you up to these days? You got anything coming up? I know you're going to VMworld. Anything else we can see you at?
So I'll be going to Cisco Live as well. We've got a small speaking slot over there. It's about getting back, setting ourselves up. We've got SE training. We've told the world about our products. Now let's tell our internal SEs and so forth. So Cisco Live, VMworld both in US and EMEA. So I'll be sure to be at both.
Very cool. And I'll leave links to your Twitter and your personal blog and all those things on the podcast show notes. But I think your Twitter handle is at MichaelCade1, right?
That's it. Yeah, Pete.
Good chap. Good bloke of mine. Good bloke. What? Yes, good man.
What?
What? Yeah, that's my horrible attempt at an English accent. Not very good. But yeah, man, thank you for filling in for Mr. John, who was going to be able to do the episode, but somehow we lost communication with him in Mexico. So hopefully he's safe and okay, and we'll catch him on the rebound. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. So if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at thespeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to talk to some big brains about V-Realize Automation. Can't wait. But until then, bye for now. All right, Michael. Thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries, mate.
Cheerio. No worries, mate.
That was very Australian, Pete.
I'd say it all sounds the same, but that would probably be inappropriate.
Pete is right.
Yeah, you'd lose listeners for that, right?
Profoundly dumbfounded.
Enough of this jibber jabber.